Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And today we are so blessed to have Helen. Helen is a coach. In fact, we call Helen Coach Helen, and she's the founder of Raising Purpose Driven Teen Leaders Movement. And Helen defines herself as a teen and young adult expert. You've been in this field for over 12 years. So we can't wait to hear all these nuggets that you have to help us raise purpose-driven and remarkable teenagers, to be honest. So, you know, guys, let me just let Helen come on and introduce herself a little bit more, because I don't like to do people disservice, right? But I am so, because I could speak forever about Helen, but I would like Helen to speak for herself, and I am so excited, guys. Thank you again so much. For those of us who are watching on video, thank you so much. For those of us who are listening on audio and podcast, thank you so much. And as always, we look forward to adding value to you, to your lives, so that you can be great leaders and influencers to your teenagers. So Helen, welcome to Raising Remarkable Teenager Tuesday Tips.
Thank you so much, Angela, for inviting me. I'm so pleased. I'm grateful that you chose me because I know that you have such a hectic schedule, but you chose really the time to invite me, and I'm really pleased about that. So to introduce myself, my name is Helen Veru. I'm AKA Coach Helen. I've been an educator for more than 12 years. I've been teaching worldwide. I've been teaching in Europe, in the Caribbean, and now I'm teaching in the Middle East. And I am an author. I am a kingdom entrepreneur. I am a teenager and youth coach, teen expert coach. And I just love to empower teenagers. I love what you do. You are empowering parents to really raise remarkable teenagers. But I believe that one of the things that I love to do the most is really to help teenagers to find themselves, you know, to discover themselves. And we need more people in purpose. Mm-hmm. For a purpose, mm-hmm. to really invest in these teenagers, because teenagers are the future leaders of tomorrow. And if we don't invest in them now, it will be really hard to really get a better world. So in a nugget, this is who I am, Coach Helen, and I love to travel. I love to empower other people. I love to really help people to see things differently. I think it's about shift of mindset, and I'm really pleased again to be here and to share with you my expertise.
Oh, thank you so much, Helen. And do you know what? I feel so blessed that you're here, because every time we have an expert who has the inside of what happens in the teenager's life, I get so excited. I know a lot of it because for a long time I worked directly with teenagers. I still do work with teenagers, but mostly now I work with parents of teenagers. But I get excited when I get someone else who knows the insights, you know, the inside information of what our yes. teenagers are thinking. It's yes. compelling you. It's like, it is such a blessing. So I want to ask you, mm-hmm. the first thing is, what is your view about intentional parenting?
Okay, well, I think that I love when you said intentional parenting, because I think we have the same mentor, which is John Maxwell, and he talked about a lot intentionality. Mm-hmm. Being intentional is really being in that level where you are doing things for a reason. and on purpose. That's why I talk so much about purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose is so key, because when you have a parent who is on purpose and who understand that he's intentional in raising remarkable teens, that his intent, he has to be intentional in everything that he does, it really is a game changer. So the importance of really being intentional as a parent, I think that when you think about a recipe, we have like a recipe for a cake. We know exactly the ingredients that we need to put in the cake. Mm-hmm. But I believe as well that there is some of the things that, to be intentional as a parent, we have to get some ingredients so we could actually get our teens to really focus in a certain direction. We are not here to tell them exactly what to do, but I think we need to be intentional in really putting different ingredients in their life so it can actually create something beautiful, something remarkable, something purposeful. And one of the things that I believe that is very important in terms of raising intentional teen leaders is really having a kind of blueprint. You know, I think that for everything you need an idea, something that you really think about and you're like, okay, now, what is a blueprint of really intentional parenting?
Mm.
And for me, intentional parenting is more about helping teenagers to be purpose-driven.
Mm.
That's one of the key that is important in terms of raising intentional, remarkable teenagers is purpose.
Wow.
Because when people don't understand their purpose, that's why I'm so passionate about it. When people don't understand that they have a purpose, it's really hard for them to really go into the direction that they are called to do, they're called to be into. So for me, the first thing would be purpose, okay? Mm-hmm. That we need to be in that mindset that parents have to be in purpose. They have to understand what is purpose. And the second ingredient is having a parent mentor, okay? A parent mm-hmm. who is more into mentorship rather than an authoritative parent.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to differentiate a dictator and a mentor. So I think this is one of the key that I think being intentional in parenting helps to raise remarkable teenagers, because I think this is one of the focus that we have to focus on. And the last thing is obviously intentional, effective communication.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about the blueprint, I'm going to repeat it, it's more parenting as a mentor,
mm-hmm.
Focusing on purpose-driven parents,
mm-hmm.
and as well having a parent with an effective communication. So this would be kind of the things that I would encourage parents to be intentional into their parenting.
Wow, that is so powerful, Helen, because as you spoke about that, light bulbs are coming in my head, and I'm thinking, yes, it's like having a plan. You know, none of us gets into the car and you just drive aimlessly, right?
Yes.
You know, you have an idea where you're going. And this is what intention is all about. You're saying, this is where I want to go. Now, the thing is, sometimes when I speak to people about being an intentional parent, and also I say we have to help our kids go where they want to go. We think, we're not dictating what they are doing. What we are doing is having a vision, right? Having a vision. And then what we do as parents and as intentional parents, we sell that vision or we inspire that vision to our kids, right?
Mm.
And that is what inspiration is about imbuing. And most of you guys by now know I'm the royal parenting expert in England. And guess what?
I love it.
Interestingly, just yesterday I was asked to do a royal parenting story for another parent in a different country, a royal
parent. Nice.
So I'm not going to reveal that yet because the story is not out yet. But once it's out, I can share the link.
No.
And one of the things I said about that royal parent was the intentionality. What I see and what I know is the intentionality. When that parent got their kid, who one of their kids was about four. They were already thinking, how do I deal with the hatred, with the bullying online, with how will I help my kid deal with that? Guys, talk about being intentional. Talk about having a vision for our kids, because unfortunately, most of us, we get these kids and we just go through the motions. We just through the motions. The problem with going through the motions is without direction, you don't even know your destiny, right?
Yes, that's it.
And it's very important what you have said. And I'm so glad, Helen, that you and I are in agreement. We are coherent as we talk about being intentional parents, right? And yes. Going, you guys know that anyone, this is not a time to feel, oh my God, I have failed, or that's it for me. You can begin today. It doesn't matter what you haven't done before. You can begin today. And most of us have had to begin at some point when you realize, excuse me, we're going downhill. And like John Maxwell says, that success is uphill, right?
Yes.
And going uphill requires intentionality. Otherwise, you just roll downhill, right?
Yes.
So I want to ask you about, in terms of parenting highly effective teenagers, and you have worked with teenagers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us and to speak into the parents' lives about some of the beliefs that we as grown-ups, some of the beliefs that we as parents especially have that really hold us hostage from raising purpose-driven kids.
Yes, yes. For me, I think one of the things that I got a few. Okay, I'm going to share maybe like 5 or 6.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
The first thing I want us to focus on is choosing purpose over career. I think this is one of the beliefs that we need to break the bubbles, is that we have to empower teenagers to focus more on purpose rather than career.
Mm.
You know, it's something we've been taught for many years.
Mm.
We go to school, we have a job, and then we focus on the career, but we don't focus on purpose. And the reason why I say that is because when you ask teenagers from a young age, they won't know their purpose because they are too young. But we actually make them understand that, okay, you have a purpose. You have a calling over your life. You have something significant.
Mm-hmm.
Start thinking about this kind of question rather than saying, okay, what job do I want to do? So mm-hmm. I think most parents, they tend to focus on what is your job? What do you see yourself doing in the future? Yes, it's a good thing, but now let's be more intentional, as you were saying, about discover your purpose. Who are you? You know, and I think we need to shift the narrative and ask this kind of question. The second thing, as I believe as well, is that parents tend to focus too much on academics rather than gifting.
Mm.
And yes, this is a system that we've been in for many years. The school system has trained us so many years to really focus on academics, on good grades. Good grades are amazing. I don't believe that there is nothing wrong in education, because knowledge is power, you know? But I believe as well that we shouldn't focus so much on academic that people really lose themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people who have masters, doctorates, who just been studying for many years and they still don't have a job. They still don't know what they want to do because they've never been trained to really focus on their gift, their natural abilities. Even you where you are, Angela, or me where I am right now, is through natural abilities. We became coach, we became speakers, you know, we became inspiring motivational persons because we have those stuff in our life. We are gifted for it. But if we had more people who have shown that when we're younger, we would have maybe done that even in a younger age, because we were focused on our natural abilities rather than just only focusing on academics. So I would encourage parents to focus on gifting rather than academic, because this is one of the beliefs that I think has to shift in their mindset.
Absolutely.
The third thing I think as well is that we tend to say that teenagers are too young to learn anything. They are not too young. They are not too young to learn. This is the best time ever in their life where they can actually start learning to become better adults. We don't want them to become adults, so we start fixing them. We need to start educating them in their finances, in their sex life, in so many things, in their emotions, in just educating them at a young age. So when they're going to grow into adulthood, they would be okay, be more relatable. They would understand how to communicate even better. So I think this is another thing that parents has to focus on.
Jump in there, Helen. Something that was so profound, as you and I and all of us here listening, we know that in teenage years their brain begins to change and they're beginning to find who they are, what they want, and they begin to say things that we probably don't even agree with. You know, they begin to tell us, this is what I want to do, this is who I want to become, and they even begin to refute or refuse things that we have taught them. So that, I believe this is a time to help them to begin to partner. In fact, I usually say in teenage years, you relinquish your parenting and begin to become a partner, because you're working in conjunction. Because at that point, they're beginning to realize, wait a minute, this is what I think I can do well. Mm-hmm. Because they're beginning to differentiate themselves from blind obedience that they were just used to doing. Yes. And sometimes as parents, we think, oh, you're just being defiant. You don't want to do as you're told. Yes. But I feel, like you said, Helen, this is the time to sit down with them and say, come on, tell me. For us as parents and educators and the society, to lean in and listen. Oh, you tell me. Oh, you want to play the guitar like this? It's something I probably have never heard, you know? But lean in. You don't know what the spirit is telling them. Mm. We don't know what spirit is telling them. And guys, let us never forget, even as parents, maybe older than our kids, we must never forget that the spirit that beats our heart, the spirit that flows our blood in our body, the spirit that keeps me alive is the same spirit that keeps my daughter alive. And that spirit is able to speak to her in a language that just the two of them understand. So it's very important to be respectful of what they tell us, because we don't know the conversations they've been having with the God in them. We don't know. And it's very important for us to be conscious, again, intentional. Let's not just think, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm bringing for you. What if we took a moment and said, you tell me, what have you and your inner being been coming up with? So I'll leave you to talk about the other beliefs.
Oh, it's okay. I love it. And I love as well, when you were saying that, I really want to emphasize on the fact that communication is key, and there is many, 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 many adults who don't know how to communicate effectively. I have to blame myself sometimes, you know, when we get in the emotion and the heat of the moment, and we need to teach them that when they're young. So when, how to deal with conflict, all of that is so key, because when we teach them that, like to express themselves, not to tell them what to do, but explain to them how to do it so they can come up with their own solutions. This is all part of raising purpose driven teen. This is all part of really raising remarkable teens, is giving them that opportunity when they can actually think for themselves. And it's okay, they are in that process where they are learning from their mistakes. They have to learn, because when are they going to learn? When they're going to be adult, they do so much mistake. No, it's when they are teens, they try this and they see this is not working. Okay, I should have done that differently, because that's when they start growing more into discovering, self-discovering, you know? So I think it's something that is very important.
I love what you say, Helen, because this is just reminding me when I was speaking to those people and to the media, and I said this particular parent is more concerned and more taking on progress rather than perfection. So guys, let's think, you know, Helen talked about they will make mistakes. Let them. That's what we do. It's trying. But always part of being an intentional parent is knowing our kids will stumble many times. But what we are interested in more is progress rather than perfection. So yeah, carry on.
Yes, and I think as well, one of the things, a bubble that we need to burst is that parents most of the time say, oh, this generation is so rude, they're so defiant, they're so rebellious. Mm-hmm. We have to break it. We have to burst that bubble because they are not defiant. They are not rebellious. It's just that the way they think is different from us. And that's one of the things I realized when I was in my meditation time is that this generation has been created for the fourth industrial revolution. Woo-hoo! You know, like over the years, there have been like three so far: the steam engine, the age of science with the massive production, the third one with the rise of the digital technology. But now we have the fourth one, which is a revolution of powered by cloud, mobile, artificial intelligence, power, data. So that's why they're so into the virtual. They have been trained. They have been born for such a time as this.
Ooh, come on.
To be problem solvers. Wow. To be in that level where they are going to have the ideas to bring us more into the virtual world. So the way that we see them, we cannot demand them to do certain things that our parents used to tell us to do, because their brain is only function in the virtual. That's why they're always on their phone. That's why they're always on video games. That's why. But it's not, I think one of the things we need to teach them is not just not to be on their phone or on their video games. I think that we need to teach them time management. Absolutely. And that's another skill that we need to teach them. They have been created for the virtual world. That's why they're so into it. And that's why we don't even understand certain things. We're like, why are you so on your phone? Why are you so? It's because that's what they know how to do.
And interesting you say that, Helen, because again, I think it was last week I posted something about don't ask your kid to be less online, right? But show them how to be more on there on purpose. So they're nice. More on there on purpose, not just scrolling, but deciding what content do I want to listen to? Who is inspiring me? Who speaks and I feel inspired? Who speaks and I feel I am growing?
Can I say something? Yes. I love what you say, but it's all tied with role modeling. You talk about that modeling. They will not do what they do not see. We want, and that's one of the things that my parents used to tell me, is go and read a book, go and do this. I'm like, but you don't do it yourself. Why would I do it? So we want to give solution and tell them what to do, but we don't do it in our life. That's why I love what you do, Angela, because you are teaching parents to really grow in their leadership. And because they are the number one influencers in the life of their teenagers, it's that if we want to see the change in their life, we need to be the change that they want to see.
Absolutely.
So instead of telling them what to do, we have to model it for them. But the thing is that we need more parents who learn, who have a desire, as you say, learners.
And what
who wants to learn.
That's true. And because, and I want to say, and you guys, most of you that have listened to these conversations that we have with the expert, you know, I talk about you as a parent being a leader. And leaders are learners. And today, you're learning to be a model. So how do I influence my teenager or my young person to be more purposeful online? By modeling to be purposeful online. Because, like Helen said, if you tell them, oh, don't spend your time doing this, they turn around and ask you, so mom or dad, what do you do online? What is it that you do online? And you or I, all I do is scroll, or I'm laughing at pictures of cats.
That's it.
Or dogs.
That's it.
That's not
They're like, what do you do? What do you do? They just do the same thing that, you know, parents are doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or you have kids. I mean, a lot of parents complain, oh, there's hate stuff online and it's affecting my kids' mental health and all that. But have you taught them to delete those people? Have you taught them to make sure that they, what the person says doesn't affect them? Yeah? Or have you taught them that this person can be blocked, this person can be reported? And the more you go in those hateful places, the more the algorithm is going to show you more. So this, we need to understand what's happening so we can also teach them. But we also need to be aware of that, because if I as a parent is getting affected by what people, I mean, like the other day I said, some parents said to me, oh, I'm feeling so anxious about going back to face-to-face meetings and all that and all that. I said, and I probed, why? And do you know what? This person, for the last about 2 years during all this pandemic, they've been posting all these filtered faces, you know, showing the, you know, like this, how slim my face is and all, you know, all that kind of filtering on Instagram and Facebook. And I said to her, let's go real talk. Of course you're going to feel nervous because you've been posting fake faces. Faces. So you're wondering, when I appear in front of people, you're not that person. And our kids sometimes have that, because we're teaching them to post. It's true, Helen. It was real talk. Yes. And I said to her, you know, we've got to have these real good talks. And sometimes we have to be real and authentic as we speak, because I'm thinking, the way you see me, if we go and meet out there, you'd be able to recognize me because this is me. But if I've been posting something that I'm not, first of all, I'll feel embarrassed even coming out to meet you. And on top of that, it's that sort of low self-esteem is going to catch up with me, because I'm thinking, oh my God, they're gonna know I was in all that. Everything I was posting was fake. Yeah. And it makes you just sit. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, if we as parents are doing that, what are we modeling to our kids? And yeah. What are we modeling to our kids? We're modeling to them that they're not enough.
Yes.
They're not enough to show up as they are. But yes, we have to change, because each one of you is enough. Each one of you is worthy. Each one of you belongs in this world. There is a space for you, and you're okay. In fact, as I continue to talk about that person, you know, she actually had to fight her corner, because people were saying, oh, she's not good to be married in that royal family. She's not enough. She's been doing this and this and this.
Wow.
But one of the things she did is hold on to that, I belong. I am worthy. It doesn't matter what I have done in the past, what has happened in the past. I belong. I am a worthy person. And that's something as parents, we need to embrace for ourselves. And what I said as well is, when we come to a point when we as parents are confident, we accept ourselves for who we are, we can give that as the most precious gift to our kids, because they begin to see authenticity. And when we model authenticity, they can live as authentic people. And they don't have to be afraid what people say about them, because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Other people don't define them. So I'm gonna leave it there, because I can talk and talk. Helen, I'm interested to hear these other beliefs that we have.
I've got three more. Mm-hmm. The other one that was actually, I had only two, but from what you were saying, I think as well, we need to stop. Parents need to stop blaming teenagers, mm-hmm, and start focusing on self and working more on wholeness.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that you were saying when I saw when you were talking about authenticity and everything. I think it's a lot of hurt that happened to their life. Mm-hmm. And they tend to blame their teens and say, why they don't do that? Why they? But the thing is not about them. It's about us. So the mm-hmm. one thing about leadership is really thinking about where we are in our journey of mm-hmm. wholeness, of healing. And I think that's one of the verbal that we need to break, stop the blaming on the teens, but focus on wholeness first in our life so we can be more open-minded and receive the healing that we need so we can be better for our teens.
Wow, that is so good.
Yeah, and there's the next point that I was thinking about is that we need to become more mentors, as I was saying, rather than dictators. Mm. Parents love to dictate, love to say what to do, but they are not really growing in that shift of mentorship. You know, mentorship is so important because teenagers are really mini adults. They are in that place where they have their own way of doing things. They have their own way of thinking, and we just need to mentor them. And I think for parents to really raise purpose-driven teens, they have to grow in that mentorship, like guiding them, that guidance. We need guidance more than telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what teenagers need. They need parents who understand them, who conversate with them, who give them ideas, advice. Even if they don't accept the advice, it doesn't matter, but at least we are sharing that with them so they can learn to make the right choices for their life. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things. And the last thing that I'm really passionate about is about breaking the cycle of poverty.
Oh, speak that, please.
The bubble, we need to burst that bubble of the spirit, as we're talking about adoption. That spirit where we want to belong somewhere, we want people to love us, we want people to make us feel welcomed. But we need, as you were saying, say that we are enough, and we need to know that we live in abundance. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that from generations to generations, that's one of the things that I've realized, especially with I'm a woman of faith. So one of the things that I love to talk about is really helping teenagers to really grow into abundance, breaking that cycle of lack, mm-hmm. of poverty in their mind, because there is that mindset of poverty can damage us so much in terms of the choice that we make, the things that we want to do in our life, because we think that we always live in that place of starvation, of scarcity, maybe of comparison. But mm-hmm. when we live in that place of abundance, that place of receiving the goodness of God, of the things that is for us, mm-hmm. in that place of purpose and knowing that we are enough, knowing that we have greatness in our life, mm-hmm. then we start moving into overflow. So mm-hmm. that's one of the bubbles that I think we need to focus on, and helping parents to teach that to those teens, their teens, even if they've never had that kind of mindset of abundance, but mm-hmm. really say, you know what, I want to be that person to break the cycle. I don't want my teens to live the same kind of life that I've lived before. And mm-hmm. I will find tools, I will find opportunities that will help them to really shift their mindset into accepting the lack of abundance that is for them. There are a lot of, and that's one of the things that I do in my programs, is I help teenagers. I do more teens program rather than mm-hmm. parents program is good, because I think there are a lot of adults program, but there are few authentic teenagers programs that really help teenagers to really grow into that greatness and that focus.
Wow, I like what you said about especially that poverty mentality. And the thing is, most of us, especially those of us in the Western countries, they think, we're not poor. Yeah. But you see, the thing is, the problem is, you may not be poor in money, but if you're in a space of competition, if you're in a space of comparison, then that is a poverty mentality, because you don't believe that you have the creativity to bring up those things that are not.
That's it.
And that's what creativity does. And it also helps you cooperate with other people, right? Yes. So a mind of abundance helps you become more creative as well as cooperative with other people. That is such a wholesome person to be with, because they're not there competing with you. They're not there comparing with you. And you know, unfortunately as well, in this society, actually, it's all over the world now. It doesn't matter where you are. We, especially the media, everyone, we are being told we are not enough. Unless you have this thing, you're not enough. Unless you buy this thing, you're not enough. Unless your face looks like this, you're not enough. And that is a spirit of poverty.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that kind of when you're operating from there, you don't feel confident enough to bring out everything, your potential, everything that you are meant to be.
Yeah. And can I say,
Let me just finish this, Helen.
Of course,
When you said about parents getting the tools and strategies, it's very, very important that we acquire these strategies and these skills. I usually say to parents, parenting teenagers is championship level game. You can't play backyard football
at
championship level. You're going to lose.
Yes.
So you upscale your skills, right?
Yes.
And that is why mentors are here. That's why you have Helen to speak with your kids and upgrade them. And obviously you have me to teach you or share with you specific leadership skills for parenting teenagers, because we can't parent how we were parented. When we grew up, there was no internet. The other day I was speaking to my daughter, she's turned 16, and I said to her, do you know, the year you were born, that's when YouTube was born.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, we're raising kids at a totally different time. So we claim to know everything that's there to know. But anyway, that's why we are leaders, and leaders are learners. Go on, Helen, tell us.
Just two more things about that is that I think as well, there is a quote that I say that we cannot raise purpose-driven teens without purpose-driven parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all work together. And I think what is missing now is that most parents even lose a sense of their own identity. And identity is so key, because when you know yourself as a parent, you are more able to actually, as you say, model that to your teenagers in a world full of crises, a world full of misconception, you know, and teenagers are full on every day in that world. Their mind is bombarded with this kind of lies. And as parents, we need to take ownership and authority and to really start showing them a different way so we can help them to maneuver in that time of crisis, because we've seen that the world is getting darker and darker. Is really, people are kind of worried, because they can see that they lose sense of control of so many things. But what we need to do is really teach them, as I was saying, about having that spirit of abundance, and then embracing their identity so they can actually find themselves and know what they are called to do and find their purpose.
Wow. I absolutely love that, because when someone knows, and let's start with the parents, when we know, I think at the beginning of this year, which is something I do every January, I help parents with visioning, where you come in and actually decide, what do I want for myself? What kind of a parent, what kind of a person do I want to be? Like, genuinely. And then you think, for me being that, what kind of a kid do I want to raise? And when we talk about these things, we're not talking about I'm raising an architect or a doctor. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, am I myself feeling abundant? Am I a cooperative person? Am I a creative person? Am I a kind person? Am I a loving person? Am I a grateful person? And then, am I raising a kid who's grateful? I mean, most of us complain how entitled our kids are. Of course, they're entitled because they don't know gratitude. Who should to be gratitude? To
greet? Yes.
So we are asking, am I raising a respectful kid? Am I raising a kid who has values? A kid who is robust? Am I raising a kid who is radiant? A kid who is resilient? Those are the abilities that we want to help our kids be. But for us to help them be that, we as parents must be. And that's why a leader must first lead themselves before they lead anyone, because we influence others by the quality of our example. Actually, you know, is it on Wednesday? I'm going to be on BBC Radio, actually. And
blessings, amazing.
I'm going to be talking about mentoring. And one of the things that I said, because you guys know that a mentor changed my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about asking parents to be mentors to their kids, to be mentors to their teenagers, because you can completely change the way your kid thinks. And I'm saying you enslave them so that they're your puppets. That's not what we are saying, because I liked something you posted, Helen, earlier about how we teach our kids some nonsense and even force them to do some of the nonsense. I mean, I can't explain it because it was a pictorial, it was a graphic something. But we must assess ourselves, because sometimes we have some crazy absurdity within us, right? And which, if we are not careful, we'll pass on to our kids, and it's not fair on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was trying to say, I'm going to be talking about mentoring, and one of the things I talk about being an influential person, like Helen, you have mentioned, you've got to be a model.
Yes, modeling is so key.
It's so key. You know, most of us, I always talk about the 3M framework. That's modeling.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, modeling, mentoring, and motivating. Most of us run to telling the motivating way. You can't, because they're not going to believe you. If someone doesn't believe you, they won't care what you say. So it's very important that we grow in ourselves, so that we can influence our young people. Now, Helen, I know we are coming to the top of the hour, and I want to respect your time, and because you have just been so gracious with what you're sharing. I want to ask you about a couple of, when you are mentoring young people, what are some of the suggestions that you can ask parents to do, like do it at home? This is what's going to help your kid. This is because you've got the inside story, you know what they want. And that's again the beauty of speaking with young people, because I mean, I remember the last sort of research I had with kids was about parents complaining my kid doesn't leave their room. So I asked loads of teenagers why they don't leave their rooms. And almost all of them said, why is my mom or my dad calling me downstairs to do, what am I going to do? There's no reason for me to, they're just calling me just to be there with people. I don't want that. Yeah, that's that. Most of them said, it's boring to be with them.
I know.
And that's getting to know what our kids think. I mean, it was helpful for me, because my teenager as well, sometimes she's up by herself. So now I know, before I ask her to come downstairs or come and join us, is there a reason for her to come? Is the reason for which I'm asking her to come bigger than what, or better than what she's doing? Because if it's not bigger and better than what she's doing, why should she come downstairs? To just sit with me? No, Yeah, so anyway, tell us some tips that parents can adopt really starting today to empower their kids, to help their kids become more purpose driven. Yeah, share with us some of that, please.
Okay, so I'm thinking about three tools at the moment. So the first thing I think that parents need to focus on is really building relationship. You know, I think it's bonding, creating bonding activities with them, depending on where you are in your journey. If it's a journey of restoration, a journey of expansion with them, is really bonding. I think, and most parents, they don't know sometimes how to bond with their teens. And that's when, as a parent, you need to start making some research. What are the things, when I talk about bonding, I'm not talking about focusing on what you like. I'm talking about focusing on what they like. So if they love video games, if they love reading books, if they love cooking, just, you know, be at their level. That's one of the things I want parents to focus on, is to be on their level, the level of their teenagers, so they can start bonding and creating meaningful relationship with them. And from then, I think it all starts with that, and then you can go deeper into conversation and never force them to tell you what you want to hear. You just converse with them so they can actually be in that place of confidence. Being safe, they have to feel safe with you. I know you always talk about it, you know, Angela, and I think the more, as you always say, we can talk about it, but now we need to put it into action, you know, and I believe that as parents, we need to stop just talking. We need to really walk the talk, you know, and so as I was saying, is bonding, then for them to feel safe, so when they feel that their teens is safe with them, they can start asking them more questions about themselves. And the next thing is really helping their teenagers to grow into self-discovery and like getting programs that will help their teenagers to really grow into self-discovery.
That's right.
The same thing that parents have, adults have programs, really be in that level where you help your teens to really grow into personal development, finding who you are. When you train them young, then they will actually become healthy adults. And we want to raise healthy kids, as you were saying, healthy teenagers, purpose-driven teenagers. And it's when you really grow into self-discovery, you start growing into purpose and doing things intentionally, as you've been saying. So that's my three nuggets, my 3 cents.
Wow, that is so powerful, guys. Look for opportunities to bond, and that's not telling them what you want them to do. Get into their world. That is something I talk about. I mean, you guys have heard me tell this story of when daughter started doing TikTok, I was so against it. But the more against I was, the more she went there all by herself. Because these kids are teenagers, and some of them are bigger than us. You can't topple someone down and stop them from doing anything. I mean, some people say, oh, I'm just going to disconnect the internet and all that. Disconnect the internet.
But they will do it behind your back.
And then they go to the friend's house, the internet is on, or they ask the friend to give them data. So that's not the way forward. The way forward is to enter into their world. I had to enter, you know, like, I was like, I don't want to do this, but I have to do
it. But it helps you, even for you to grow as a person and to be, you know, more in the age, you know, like in the edge.
Absolutely. And for me, the advantages of me entering into her world way surpass my resistance to enter there. And I'm so thankful I did. I'm so thankful. And that's something, look for opportunities to bond. The things that you think they shouldn't be doing, go and do it with them. Find out. Find out. Let them teach you. Let them teach you. Let them take that position of being the teacher. Let them teach it. And when we do that, it makes them feel empowered. It makes them feel valued. Oh, mama or daddy, or my teacher actually values what I'm doing.
Yes.
And what does that do for them? It makes them feel valued. It makes them feel seen. It makes them feel heard. And what does that do for their self-esteem? Come on, guys, we can do this, right?
Yes.
You talked about this self-discovery of both the parent and the teenagers. Guys, let us be learners. There are people out here who are offering personal development programs. I mean, I'm not saying you come to me. If you want to come to me, I'll be glad and I'll be grateful that you come to me. Or if you want to go to Helen, I'll be glad that you, but do something. Don't just sit there because the tide is going to, it's moving. The train is moving. Yeah.
And one thing is that, you know, there is something that says that the seed that you plant now, you will reap it later. Mm-hmm. It's now as a teenager that whatever you sow in their life, you will reap it later, because you're going to look at their life and you're going to be like, wow, I love who you're becoming. It's because you planted the seed in their life. And one of the things that I see as well with teenagers is that even us as well as adults, we have our parents telling us something, but it's always good to have someone else telling us something, because we parents, like, I don't know, I think there is something with teens. When their parents talk, they just be like, again, why are you talking? Why are you just, oh my gosh, give me a break. Because I don't know, it's just, I don't know if they're, it's, I don't know if the teenagers, but they want to get in their world, but they're like, oh, it's my parents again. They're going to tell me up. They're going to tell me what I'm supposed to do. But it's so good that you want to tell them something, find someone who will tell them the same thing that you tell them.
Absolutely.
And because it will come fresher and they would be like, that's what my parents used to tell me. Oh my gosh, I got it. Because it doesn't come from you. So find someone who have the same values as you. So you help, they will help say the same thing that you've been telling to your teen, so they can listen to you.
Absolutely. And that's it's called the law of familiarity.
That's it.
The kids, you know, sometimes my daughter has come back and said to me, oh, you know, this person said this. And I'm like,
I told you.
No, I don't
say that. You
I have learned not to. I'm like, I've been saying that for the last 3 years.
Yes, that's it. And it's the truth. And that's when you go into wisdom as a parent. For your teens to do something, you say, you know what? I need to find programs to help my teens that say the same thing I've been telling them home, so they can really get it in their minds.
Absolutely. And that's what learning is about. Learning is very multidimensional as well.
Yes.
Let us not think that we are the only one that can tell them or can show them. Put them in touch with mentors.
Yes.
Put them in touch with mentors. Mentors who have the same values as you. And that's why, again, we as parents have to rise to a higher level. Because you tell me, if you want your kid to be, for example, grade A, and you're operating at grade D, right?
Yes.
How is that going to work? You can't give them what you haven't got. You'll be giving them D, and maybe you have taken them to a mentor like Coach Helen, who is showing them how to be grade A. So when they come home, and by the way, when I used to work with teenagers a lot, that's what I used to find. I would empower teenagers, but then they would have conflict at home because the parent does not think at that level.
Yeah.
So the parent is thinking, no, you're being defiant. No, you're thinking things that we don't think in this family, because they are down here and the kid has risen up here. But our job as parents is to grow as our kids grow, so that when your kid is talking to you at level A, you're talking to them at level A. And those are the
conversations. Even A star.
Absolutely. Those are the conversations that change the game, you know?
Yes. And you know, I was thinking, even as an educator as well, like, that's what happened with some parents, is that you can see that some of the time, just saying, when he was talking about the grades, you have some kids who are in a level D, but the parents think they are on the level A. And they're like, I don't understand why my child is not on the level A. But there are some stuff as parents that they have to learn to help their child and see that maybe there are something that their teens are struggling with. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, as you say, learning about the person rather than just focusing on my own opinion, my own view, but really trying to find a way that I can do to help them to achieve that level. So yeah.
And also, by the way, guys, when I talked about level A and D, I'm not talking about academics. It could be, for example, when my daughter was bringing me TikTok stuff and all that, she's still on it and I support her with it and we talk about it a lot. To be honest, I still don't like it, but I go along with her and it has.
And you build trust as well, I think.
We build trust with that. She shows me a lot of things. She tells me because of that forum, she's opened a lot about it. But what I meant is, for example, she was at grade A with TikTok and I was at Z, resenting it, not knowing a thing about it. But now I have come up to her level. And because of that, we are able to have conversations that we probably wouldn't be having because that's her point of interest. And I have to meet her at her point of interest. Our kids, we have to meet them at their point of interest, whether that's whatever it is, video games, you know, I don't know what your kid is into, but whether you like it or not, our job as parents is to get into their world, find out what they're doing, connect with them. Connect with them, be with them, get to know what's happening. And like Helen said, like Coach Helen said, that's how we build trust. That's how we bond. That's how we build openness. So I am so excited, Helen. So for our very last thing, I want to ask you, how can our parents find you? How can our parents find you so they can find these lovely programs that you provide for teenagers?
So they can visit my website, www.thekeysforsuccess.com, and they can actually get in touch with me by
www.thekeysforsuccess.com,
yes. Uh-huh. And they can actually write me a note and get a free consultation with me. Mm-hmm. And they can follow me on Instagram at The Keys for Success. Mm-hmm. They can as well visit my Facebook page, Coach Helen, and they can send me an email at thekeysforsuccesscoach@gmail.com. thekeysforsuccesscoach@gmail.com.
So that's thekeysforsuccesscoach, at gmail.com. And anyway, yes. Guys, I'm gonna place all these links down here for all of us that are watching on video. It's going to be here, and even on the podcast, it's going to be here. And it's thekeysforsuccesscoach@gmail.com for that free consultation. Guys, you know, I always say, let's take action on the information so we can get our transformation. So why not get a hold of Helen and grab that coaching session and see where we go from here. So any last minute advice, Helen, before we finish?
I just wanted to say one more thing. One nugget for the parents who listens to me is, I just want to finish that session by saying, give them what you wished you had. You know, this is a simple thing. Give them what you wished you had. At their age, you wanted to do something. You wanted your parents to be a certain way. Just be that parent for them.
Wow. I'm not even going to say anything else, because if I start talking about that particular thing, I'll talk forever. So Helen, Coach Helen says, let's be intentional. Think about that thing or that way you wanted to be treated. What you wanted at that time, whether it was emotional connection, whatever it is, think deeply. And I don't think you're talking about material stuff.
No.
You're talking about, give your kid what you wished you had at their age. Wow, thank you so, so much, Helen, and everyone here for your love and your support, for being here, and for really being intentional leaders. You're here because you're learning some new stuff, and I am so, so grateful. I don't take that for granted. And from all of us here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers today on Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens, we thank you so much for being with us, and we will see you in the next session. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, guys.